It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4 to 1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
In a letter to House Speaker Paul Ryan, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson certified Iran is meeting the terms of the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, or JCPOA, better known as the Iran nuclear deal. Yet Tillerson also announced the National Security Council will lead an interagency review of the JCPOA and indicated the U.S. has little interest in allowing the deal, as presently configured, to remain in effect.
It really does not achieve the objective. It is another example of buying off a power who has nuclear ambitions. We buy them off for a short period of time, and then someone has to deal with it later.
We just don't
see that that's a prudent way to be dealing with Iran, certainly not in the context of all of their other disruptive activities.
At the White House, a spokesman for President Trump voiced skepticism that Iran is complying with the JCPOA.
Is the president concerned that Iran may be cheating?
That's why he's asking for this review. I think that there's, if he thought they were everything was fine, he would have just, you know, allowed this to move forward. I think he's doing the prudent thing by asking for a review of the current deal.
Finalized between the U.S., Iran, and 5 other world powers, the JCPOA imposed time-limited curbs on Iran's nuclear program, along with enhanced inspections, in exchange for tens of billions in sanctions relief.
All right, that's the first part of James Rosen's report on Fox. This is Sandy Rios with you. This is really an interesting story. For a number of reasons. And let me let James finish his report, and then I'll tell you kind of what the behind-the-scene intrigue on this. Here's James.
Physicist David Albright, the former UN weapons inspector, who is now head of the Institute for Science and International Security in Washington, urges the Trump administration to be tougher in evaluating Iranian compliance than the Obama administration was.
Iran is doing things in the implementation of the JCPOA largely not reported by the International Atomic Energy Agency, let's say, produce more heavy water than it really should be, to run more advanced centrifuges than they should be allowed to, or manufacture more centrifuge rotors than they should be able to do. So each one of those is, I would argue, is not a material breach of the JCPOA, but it is incremental cheating on the deal.
Whatever the Iran review accomplishes, Defense Secretary James Mattis, traveling in Saudi Arabia, made clear the U.S. remains alarmed by Iran's support for terrorism, its expanding ballistic missile arsenal, and its support for the Assad regime in Syria and Shiite rebels in Yemen.
Everywhere you look, if there's trouble in the region, you find Iran. So we will make progress on this. The international community will make progress on it.
As a candidate, Donald Trump stopped short of saying he would rip up the Iran deal, instead vowing to, quote, police it so tough the Iranians wouldn't have a chance. Today's comments by Secretary of State Tillerson, Brett, suggest that there is no degree of compliance that the Iranians could demonstrate with this deal that would convince the U.S. to keep it in place.
Oh, this is so interesting. So let me do my best to kind of give you a synopsis. You know, there's so much news and so much information. It's very hard to keep track of it. We often say that. But the Iran agreement that President Obama reached was the most egregious, dangerous piece of work that he probably did in his entire presidency. It put us at risk. And all the while he's saying the reason we're doing this is to stop them from developing nuclear weapons, which was an absolute lie. At the very most, it would delay them by like 10 years. If at all that. They're allowed to do their own inspections and show us pictures and give us examples of how they are complying. No oversight whatsoever. Plus, as you know, we have sent them billions of dollars, some in cash, in the middle of the night, big, you know, blocks of money delivered on ships. It was an unbelievable deal. Yeah, a real deal. And Korea, North Korea, getting my countries mixed up. Iran was paid right up front. Remember that? And also, do you remember that Senator Bob Corker was all excited about it? He was pushing it. It was the Corker-Cardin deal. And he was all over this. Bob Corker, yes, your senator. Ted Cruz was opposing this at the time. And as I recall, Ted had a big rally in Washington, D.C., and he invited candidate Donald Trump to come join him in that rally. Anybody remember that? I certainly remember it. It was the first time they had actually worked together. It was before Trump started lambasting Ted Cruz. It was when there was some sort of amicable relationship between them. And so Donald Trump joined him, Ted Cruz, on the platform. And I was at the rally, actually. And so Donald Trump said over and over again in his campaign, there is actually a montage of this, which I don't have to play for you, but he said over and over again, this was a terrible deal, worst deal we've ever signed. We have to do, you know, we have to do away with this. So interestingly enough, yesterday morning, I believe it was yesterday morning, could be the evening before, Tillerson, Secretary of State, wrote a letter to Speaker of the House Paul Ryan talking about how Iran is complying with the, you know, the parameters of the agreement. And then yesterday afternoon, suddenly Tillerson, the Secretary of State, comes out and makes a very long statement, which is actually pretty stunning. And Adam, we should put that on our Facebook page because we don't have time to play it this morning. But he spells out all of the ways that Iran is involved in terror, how they are in danger of becoming another North Korea. And of course, they're actually probably further along with their nuclear development than North Korea. But I digress. And so it's like it's as though the letter didn't go out to Paul Ryan. And so initially, when the letter went out to Speaker Ryan, people in the national security sphere that I know were beside themselves, very upset. And my understanding is that, okay, I don't know this for sure. I'm surmising this part. I'm guessing because the State Department is still filled with Obama people. People that have been there for 8 years who are not simpatico, as we would say, with Donald Trump. I suspect maybe they were behind that letter. I don't know. Of course, Rex Tillerson signed it. He probably doesn't know. You know, again, Tillerson and Donald Trump are businessmen. Businessmen know business. They are geniuses at business, but they don't know much about public policy. So I'm assuming, rightly or wrongly, that Tillerson may not be up to speed on Iran and all the details of that. He might have been running a business, you know, possibly. Nevertheless, his signature was on that letter. It goes to Paul Ryan, and my understanding is that the president was very upset. And this is inside information, but I'm telling you that the president was very upset with that. And so a few hours hence, Mr. Tillerson is at the microphone spelling out all the breaches that Iran is undergoing, the ways it's sponsoring terror, and all the ways we cannot trust it, and then saying, hinting that it's very unlikely that we will be able to stay in this agreement, JCPOA agreement. Now, so I just think that's interesting, and I think hats off to the president for doing that. So, of course, with this treaty, or that's not a treaty. Oh, what is it? It's just like a 1,000-page agreement that the president and Bob Corker and a couple of others, Democrats, decided, many, all the Democrats, and some of the Republicans, like Bob Corker, decide, hey, this is pretty good. Hey, let's vote for this. What are they, out in their minds? What did Bob Corker get out of this? I would really like to know. If we were going to unleash surveillance, I'd like to know what Bob Corker got out of pushing this deal. Because we as Americans got less security, more danger. We gave billions of dollars to someone who's killing us and was on the battlefield in Iraq. I just don't, sponsoring those IEDs, what was he thinking? Somebody tell me. And so the president is trying to be consistent with his promises on this, and thank goodness for that. But of course, it's probably, the cat is out of the bag, so to speak. We have already sent all the money. All the good benefits to Iran happened right away. The president made sure of that. So I think we should withdraw from the agreement, but I think it's going to be, you know, hard to have much of a gain from that based on how it was set up. Very clever, very smart, very insidious. And thank you, Senator Corker, for helping with that. Well, there are a lot of things going on today. And by the way, I'm going to open the phone lines today. So I'm telling you up front, I'm going to give you some topics here. And then if you want to talk, let's talk. Our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. You know, the big news for lots of people yesterday was that Bill O'Reilly has been removed from Fox News. And that's they said that Bill didn't really get word. I think he got word in an airport as he was traveling. He's in Italy. It's an interesting thing about Bill. I would say this, my perspective on this for what it's worth. Look, if Bill is sexually harassing women, I'm not a fan of that. So don't misunderstand my next statement. But this is what we see happening. I noticed that Bill was becoming, I think, more strategic, more focused on a lot of things, including immigration, including, of course, his support for Donald Trump. Actually more conservative than Bill ever was before. I don't know what that was all about, but becoming kind of a powerful force for a lot of things. And the Alinsky method, which is being employed by the left all the time, is to target, make it personal, and destroy people. And they always destroy people Alinsky taught people to use a person's own set of rules to destroy them. In other words, if it's a Christian, get them on moral charges. You know, the left doesn't have any rules. They don't care what their people do. It doesn't matter. They can sleep with goats and it doesn't matter. But if a person professes to be a Christian and he has some sort of an affair or whatever, that's what you go after him with. So, Bill's Roman Catholic. I'm sure, you know, he wouldn't wear adultery like a badge. But that's kind of the pattern of Alinsky, is to target people using their own rules against them. And so I think that as Bill got more powerful, and I think he has gotten to be a more consistent voice in a lot of ways than I feel like he has been in the past, I think he became a target. This is not new news. These lawsuits have been in the works for a long time, and it's actually public knowledge. Not that there were so many, but it was well known. I think it was 2004 the first time I heard about it. And so this is not new news, but it's suddenly, you know, big news because the powers that be wanted him out, so he's out. So I have mixed feelings about it. You know, I'm not happy about his alleged indiscretions with women. How could I be? But I'm also not happy that they continue to pick off, the left is able to pick off people that are actually becoming a danger to them. And so that's how this all works. And so the speculation is, can Fox stay on top without O'Reilly? And we can talk about that. Also, you know that Tucker Carlson's going to be in Bill's time slot. The 5 is going to move up into the time slot right before that, which is interesting. Eric Bolling is going to take the 5 o'clock hour by himself in a new show. Martha McCollum is going to keep her show. You know, Martha has some really good instincts and great guests, and I'm glad, you know, I think that's good. And I think Tucker Carlson is great. What can I say? I've known Tucker since he was just a young guy in a bow tie when I used to be on Crossfire with him. So Tucker's, but you know, not because he knows me, but he has a great mind, and I think he has actually become more conservative through the years that I've known him. So that's just a little bit of what we could talk about. Other things I'm going to tell you when we return, but if you'd like to talk about any of the things that are happening this week or have been happening, we've talked about the death penalty, lots of stuff. Let's talk. 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Hi, this is Dan Celia from Financial Issues. You know, the charitable gift annuity concept is more important today than probably ever. It is something that you have heard me talk about for many, many years. And right now, for now, the tax code is still allowing charitable organizations to establish a charitable gift annuity so that you can be guaranteed permanent income for the rest of your life. Don't waste any time. So many of you have IRAs, 401k money. Peel off a piece of that. Establish your charitable gift annuity so that you have a portion of permanent income that you know is never going to change for the rest of your life. Would you do it today? Call AFA Foundation, 800-326-4543. Extension 345. That's 800-326-4543. Extension 345.
Today's moms and dads are so worried about being friends with their kids, they've forgotten how to be parents. Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. I've seen parents get so lax with their kids that they look more like buddies than parents. I like to call them parents. But in my experience, their children grow up to be selfish, demanding, and aggressively controlling adults. Good luck finding friends then. So how can we be parents, not parents? Being a parent means you're willing to exert some authority. You still know how to have fun, but you're not afraid to put your foot down when needed. Because if you won't fill that parental role, your kid will look for a role model elsewhere. Hey, your teen has plenty of friends. They don't need any more mom and dad. Be a parent.
There's much more encouragement for parents from Mark Gregston online at parentingtodaysteens.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with this Fox News and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Blake Bramlett. I graduated in May of 2016, and I graduated with a degree in interdisciplinary studies, focusing in psychology and missions. The professors here at TMU have really impacted my life in more than one way. In the classroom, of course, but really, honestly, what makes the experience at Truett better is that they're mentors to us.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
A boycott over Target's decision to let men access women's bathrooms and changing rooms continues to grow. More than 1.5 million people have now pledged to boycott the giant retailer. American Family Association launched the boycott a year ago. Since that day, Target stock has lost 35% of its value. Publicly, Target refuses to acknowledge the American Family Association boycott has hurt the company, but privately, well, that's a different story. Brian Cornell is the chief executive officer. He told the staff the company did not adequately assess the risk of publicizing their bathroom policy, said the AFA backlash was self-inflicted. This according to the reporting of the Wall Street Journal. The fact is, many families do not feel safe shopping at Target. Parents fear their daughters might find themselves targeted inside the retailer's multi-gender bathrooms. I'm Todd Stearns.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you, and we're going to go to the phones in just a second. Our phone number is 888-589-8840. Well, I was just going to talk about this boycott because it was actually 1 year ago today that AFA started the boycott of Target, and that was one day after Target announced its decision to open their bathrooms and their changing facilities to all genders to break down the barriers. It was shocking at the time. Can you imagine how dulled we have become even in a year? So we have 1.5 million people who have agreed with AFA to target Target, to stop shopping there. And it really has had a tremendous effect. As Todd was just talking about, the Wall Street Journal, of course, had an article that covered this in depth that said, after the boycott exploded, Target executives scrambled to control the damage. Sales started to decline and have now in every quarter since. And, of course, you know, because we talked about it, that Target CEO Brian Cornell said that the post that announced the policy was made without his knowledge or approval. Of course, that doesn't mean he didn't approve of the policy. He just approved of posting the policy, making it public. So maybe we should be grateful to the people inside that made it public. You know, my laughter is not, or my whatever you hear, it's not because I'm glad Target is failing. I like Target, and I miss shopping there, to be honest with you. But it's just that Target was the prototype. If Target succeeded at this, then all of the other stores would fall. And you know how this goes. It's happening everywhere. Corporations have become bastions for pushing the LGBTQ agenda. And so Target's not faring so well, and other companies are watching. And so I think that we could say that this has been very effective, and we're going to just continue. We're just going to continue until they cry uncle and make their bathrooms and their changing rooms safe once again for people shopping. So anyway, so that's the story on that. That was 1 year ago today when we started this boycott. A couple of things quickly before I was talking about Bill O'Reilly being removed from Fox. He's gone. He is just gone. And, you know, Fox is probably the only place that many of us can go for the news that is not like the other news, where you hear 24/7, you know, talk about the Trump connection to Russia, you know, ad nauseum, the same things over and over again, and where you can hear things that you don't hear on the other networks. And so Fox would be greatly missed if this exit of Bill should really affect their bottom line. In fact, there's an article this morning on Politico. Can Fox stay on top without Ailes, Roger Ailes, or O'Reilly? And I guess that's a question mark. It would be interesting to know how you feel about this. There's an article in Newsbusters that said the media's, it's called The Media's 100-Day War Against Trump. And it, as President Trump approaches the end of his first 100 days in office, he has received by far the most hostile press treatment of any incoming American president, with the broadcast networks punishing him with a coverage that has been 89% negative. The networks largely ignored important national priorities such as jobs and the fight against ISIS in favor of a news agenda that has been dominated by anti-Trump controversies and which closely matches what would be expected from an opposition party. For example, President Trump's push to invigorate the economy and bring back American jobs received a mere 18 minutes of coverage, less than 1% of all airtime devoted to the administration. Now, that's 18 minutes in 100 days. While his moves to renegotiate various international trade deals resulted in less than 10 minutes of TV news time. 8 years ago, in contrast, the broadcast networks rewarded new President Barack Obama with mainly positive spin and spent hundreds of stories discussing the economic agenda of the incoming liberal administration. Then they have a list of the things that were covered on the temporary travel ban. They spent 223 minutes, and 93% of those minutes were negative. On the Russia election investigation, 222 minutes, 97% of them negative. On the effort to replace Obamacare, 152 minutes with 94% of them negative stories. And it goes on and on. We will put this on our Facebook page today too, the media's 100-day war against Trump. And I want to just close with the point that they make, because it's a good one. They're comparing how the media covered President Barack Obama. And this is what they say. This is Brian Williams on March the 10th of 2009. The president's first 7 weeks have been a whirlwind with often dramatic movement in all directions, on all fronts, the economy, healthcare, two wars, and today education reform. And so the World News, March 1st, 2009, their medical director, Tim Johnson, gushed after a forum on healthcare, "I was blown away by President Obama's grasp of the subject, how he connected the dots, how he answered the questions without any script." The networks also broadcast dozens of stories that treated Obama and his family's pop culture celebrities. Quote, "From the moment the Obamas landed in Britain, hand in hand, many were already starstruck." That was Dawn Friesen of NBC on April 1st, 2009. Covering European leaders' summit a few days later, ABC's David Muir warmly referred to Obama as the cool kid in the class. Needless to say, President Trump and his family have received no such positive reviews. Instead, the media's reaction to this president has been unremittingly hostile, with aggressively negative coverage of both his administration's policy as well as his character. So that's just a little bit of this Newsbusters article. And the point I'm trying to make is Fox is important. for all of these reasons. In fact, Malcolm Nance, the NBC terror analyst, recommended in a tweet that Trump property in Istanbul be the object of a suicide bombing, an ISIS bombing. That's how bad it is, the coverage for Donald Trump. Okay, I want to know what you think about whatever you want to talk about today, if it's this or something else. Our phone number is 888-589-8840. Hang on one second because I'm having just a second here. I've got to reconnect. Okay, here we go. Let's go to Carol in Arkansas. Good morning, Carol.
Good morning, Sandy. How nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you, too.
And I thank you for your program. It is so helpful. I wanted to talk about Paul Ryan. As you said, Donald Trump is a businessman. He probably hasn't been real involved in who's doing what in the government. But we don't get to vote for Paul Ryan or the Speaker of the House. And I have not forgotten his stance on so many things. And I think he, when it comes to cleaning the swamp, he's the scum on the swamp, on the pond. He is, let's say, a water moccasin. I come from the South, and we have a lot of water moccasins, and they don't give warning like rattlesnakes and others. They just will get you, and they're poison. But anyway, he is not helpful, and I had... Well, a long time back, after I was on the National Platform Committee in 92, when my then governor was running against Mr. Bush, that was Bill Clinton, but anyway, I did not give any more money to the RNC, and I will tell you why. Because they use your money to elect their kind. And it's not our kind. It's not Christian ethic people. It's people who are globalists, who want open borders, et cetera, et cetera. And so I would advise anybody, don't... Well, what brought me to this is I've been receiving an email every day, and I guess I'm on a lot of Republican lists, but I get an email from Team Ryan. Have you had one of those, Sandy?
Oh, I think I have, actually. I've certainly had them forwarded to me.
Every
if I don't.
Day, and I don't obviously don't. He's raising. It is a fundraising thing that he's doing, and he's clearly going to try to elect globalist people or establishment people of his same ilk. And I would just advise anybody don't get involved in Team Ryan because he is. He's not going to help you elect conservative people. And
Carol,
don't give your money to the RNC. Look at the candidates individually. You can research them out and find the Christian real gentlemen, the people who are really standing up for right.
Yeah, Carol, let me jump in here because to expand on what you're saying, I've said this before, but it bears repeating, and that is that Paul Ryan and the leadership in the House have strong ties to the lobbyists on K Street and to the Chamber of Commerce, which used to be a good organization, but now is led by a very leftist globalist mindset. Carol's absolutely right about that. And what they do is, I'll just give you the latest example. Remember over the healthcare debate 3-4 weeks ago, the PACs affiliated with the leadership started running ads in the districts against the Freedom Caucus members who were saying this bill is not good. This is not a good bill. This is still Obamacare. It's not repealed. And this will not bring down costs. So they then turned around and started spending money to defeat to sully the reputation of the members of the Freedom Caucus. And in the general election, they recruit people that they can control. And then the people that they can control run as though they're conservatives. They say they lie. They say they're for the wall. They say they are pro-life. They say they are all the buttons. So then people in the district, you know, because they're living their lives and sort of expect to have truth shared with them. They vote for this candidate, and then the candidate goes to Washington, then works with Paul Ryan and the leadership And before him, John Boehner. It was happening with John Boehner. I don't know when this all started, but boy, it seems to me it started with John Boehner. So it has become a totally deceptive operation. Carl Rove is involved in this too. And so I'm with Carol. If you're going to help in these elections, and I hope that you will, find out who these candidates are. Find out organizations that endorse certain candidates that you can trust. And when we get closer to election, I'll share some of those with you. I think Senate Conservatives Fund is one that I always trust. And those are the people that need your money and your help, not the party for right now, not till the, and if and when they ever can restore their trust. And it's going to take a long time before that happens. Carol, it's always a good thing to hear your insights. Thank you. Let's go to Margie in Texas. Good morning, Margie.
Good morning, young lady. We listen to you faithfully. My mom is, like I said before, is 102. She's an avid listener of you. And trust me, if you're on the air, she's on the air with you.
Oh, that's so sweet. What's her name? Hey, Margie, what's her name?
Mary Lou.
Mary Lou, good morning, and thank you for the honor of listening. Maybe sometime we can talk to her, Margie. That'd be fun.
You have, I think you have before. I'm not sure. But
really?
I think you have before.
You know what? Before you hang up today, I'm going to put you on hold, and I'd love to get her number because it'd be fun to talk to her on the air.
Well, if you want somebody to tell you what she thinks, how our country should be handled, and how she is very God-fearing and God-loving, she will talk to you.
Okay, good. All right,
but
so what do you think?
What I wanted to say real quick, Bill O'Reilly did just what the people asked of him. He was trying to help put America back together, which several people have torn it apart, as you talk about. But he didn't do anything that, how do I want to put this? Bill O'Reilly believed in his country, I believe, and I believe he still does. And I just hated to see him go off the air. But, Sandy, again, I won't keep you any longer, but you guys are a blessing. And a lot of people don't like to hear that in politics or news. But you guys are a blessing for what all you do.
Margie, thank you. That's really sweet of you. Thanks a lot for that compliment. It's sad to see Bill go, but I guess I'm probably more, I'm sad for him. I'm not happy for his behavior, but I think the sadder thing, the larger picture on it again, is how the left so skillfully is able to target and destroy the people that become most effective. And I don't know, you know, everybody has feet of clay. Everybody has sin in their life. So, you know, how does one, and of course, if there's not something real there, they'll make it up. You know, just like then this story about Carter Page, that the FBI director brought this ridiculously false dossier to the FISA court in order to open surveillance on Carter Page is just amazing. So my point is, if there isn't something, and there, as far as we know, there's nothing there. Carter Page is a graduate of the Naval Academy. The Naval Academy. And he says, I've got nothing to hide. Are you kidding? I'm not a Russian spy. That's not going to happen. And they used a fake dossier to surveil him. So the point is, if they want to destroy people, they can, even without there being any there. So that's disturbing to me. Very disturbing. Let's go to Tim in Michigan. Good morning, Tim. How are you?
I'm doing great, Sandy. Doing great. I really appreciate you and your show. I'm a first-time caller. A little nervous.
Oh, well, don't be nervous. It's just you and me and a couple of tens of thousands of people.
Anyways, yeah. So you played a clip or spoke about Rex Tillerson and first said that everything was... Yeah.
Tim, you know what? Let me put you on hold because that's the going out music, and I don't want you to have to rush. So hold on a second. We'll come back to you first, okay? All right.
Okay.
Our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. And this is Sandy Rios in the morning. We're just chatting about all the things that you'd like to chat about this morning. I'll be right back. We'll be right back.
You're listening to A Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. Does purity, cleanness of heart, mind, and soul matter? Yes, it does matter. And further, it will always matter because it matters to God. God shows that repeatedly in the Bible. Think of King David on top of that roof, looking, lusting, and committing adultery with Bathsheba. You know the rest. His falling to temptation led to other heinous sins, and his life was never the same as his treachery opened the floodgates to other sin, and his family and his kingdom paid a great price for David's uncleanness. Whether young or old, there's a great price that's paid when one lusts over pornography in whatever form or situation. Seek first the kingdom of God and place no evil thing before your eyes. Psalm 101:3a. This is A Decency Minute. Find out more by visiting us on the web at americandecency.org. I'm Bill Johnson.
Hello, I'm Gary Roby, host of Call to Worship, heard each Sunday on American Family Radio. This one-hour program will lead you in a special time of worship and praise. We will focus on God's Word, spoken, and in music. Call to Worship has a different topic each week as we glorify God together. Be sure to join us at 5 a.m. Central each Sunday for a Call to Worship right here on American Family Radio.
Consider serving with Friendships. It's an all-volunteer ministry providing aid to disaster victims, refugees, and the impoverished here at home and around the world. We're now taking applications. If you're available to serve without pay, you can be part of the crew reaching out to help people in need. Check it out at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022.
8 Days of Hope 13 is headed to Lafayette, Louisiana, June 4th to June 11th. Hi, I'm Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. 8 Days of Hope is a faith-based ministry. We've gone all over the country to help families rebuild after natural disasters. We've helped almost 1,800 families rebuild their homes, sometimes from the ground up. Lafayette, Louisiana, and the whole state of Louisiana got hit by epic flooding last year in August. Almost 25 inches of rain fell, and almost $20 billion of damage was done. Literally 140,000 homes flooded. Think about that, 140,000 families waiting for somebody to be a glimpse of Jesus. You can be a skilled professional, or you can be somebody like me who's less skilled but wants to give back. Go to 8daysofhope.com. We provide the food and lodging, and you can learn a lot more about the ministry. And we can't wait to see you in Lafayette, Louisiana, June 4th to June 11th. For more information, go to 8daysofhope.com.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. President Trump was reportedly furious when he learned that the State Department had issued a statement on Tuesday declaring Iran in compliance with the so-called nuclear deal. Mr. Trump has repeatedly reviled that accord as the worst ever negotiated because Iran can comply with it and still get the bomb. Consequently, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson was directed to hold a press conference yesterday describing the many ways in which the threat posed by Iran, non-nuclear and nuclear, continues to intensify. He stressed that all aspects of U.S. policy, including the future of the deal, are under review. If that review is influenced by the same Obama administration holdovers, who claim Iran is complying with its obligations, however, it will be no more accurate, objective, or acceptable than the misleading statement the State Department issued on Tuesday. Clean house, Mr. President. This is Frank Affney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
You know, if I were to tell you about the number of positions that are still not filled or are filled by Obama appointees, you would be amazed that President Trump is getting done what he's getting done. It's amazing. In fact, in the Attorney General's and the Department of Justice, there is not a single U.S. attorney who's been put through the process. So they're just operating with people who are filling in temporarily. So it's kind of amazing. And you know, one can hope and be optimistic that if they can fill up these positions, that can imagine what they can do. I mean, they're fighting an uphill battle with some unfriendly forces. And of course, you've got people in the White House, I'm just telling you, in charge of hiring that are blocking a lot of really great appointees, people whose names you would know, who should be there on the inside, but they're being blocked because there are Democrats on the inside, Obama appointees. It's just amazing. So the battle continues, and we just need to pray, continue to pray for our country, pray for our president, that he has wisdom, pray that the right people's voices will be heard. So anyway, that's the update on that. All right, let's go back to, by the way, this is Sandy Rios in the morning, and we're talking this morning, which is great. It's great to hear from you. Our phone number is 888-589-8840. And when last we were together, we were talking with Tim, who was just beginning to talk to me. Good morning, Tim in Michigan.
How you doing, Sandy?
Good. Okay, so what's on your mind, Tim?
Good. Well, it looks like Frank Gaffney pretty much gave my question or gave my comment. And you did also, as you were speaking earlier in the show, Rex Tillerson. I don't know if he approved that release from the State Department that said Iran was complying, whether that goes by him first. But, yeah, my question and comment is exactly what Frank Gaffney was talking about. If the State Department has so many people, you know, working for Tillerson that are former Obama employees, it just seems like there's going to be some confusion with our, you know, our policy and our agenda as far as Iran, you know, North Korea, and ISIS. I know, I think James Mattis and Donald Trump or President Trump are, seem to be on the same page, but I think Tillerson's of the same mind. But, you know, when you're a boss, you rely on your people to do, you know, to give you information. You don't micromanage. And so, yeah, that could be a real problem for Tillerson's State Department. And my question is since I'm assuming they're paid employees, can President Trump or Rex Tillerson just fire them at will and hire new people? And you kind of intimated in your comments that sexy were having problems hiring new people. But so that's my thing. I see it the way you do. We need to have some people in the State Department that are on the same page, or else it's going to be, you know, confusing.
Yes. And Tim, that's the way it is in all the agencies right now. There are some agencies that are doing better than others, but most of them are still populated. The civil servant law protections in Washington are amazing. You know, people cannot be fired unless there are certain, you know, egregious, and then you have to go through a process. It's tough. And so there are moves right now to totally revamp the civil service rules and regulations. And so what Reagan did, when, as my understanding is, when President Reagan, he had the same problem when he came in 1980, he ended up putting a lot of people in these agencies, like out in the hallway and desks, like, or, you know, transferring them to Outer Mongolia if they didn't, you know, they could leave, or they could be, you know, put in time doing some, you know, really bad jobs that they wouldn't want. So that's how he managed it. And that may be how Trump is going to have to do this. But there aren't enough people in place yet to even do that. So he's got a problem at both ends, trying to get rid of the really bad people who are working against his agenda, and then trying to find good people, trying to get past the establishment wall, which is present in the White House, that doesn't want any but their own kind. I think Carol described them as globalists, people that sometimes, a lot of never Trumpers are being hired. It's just amazing. And a lot of conservatives, their resumes are just going in the trash. So that's what's happening, Tim. That's the bad news. And it really is honestly amazing that the president is getting done as much as he's getting done. There's an article in the Wall Street Journal this morning about how much he's done to turn back so many of the bad Obama regulations. The Wall Street Journal singing his praises. So I think Donald Trump is doing just about all he can. He's like a one-man whirlwind, but he needs help. And in order to get that help, he's going to have to make wiser choices. He's got Jared Kushner. Kushner is a Democrat with strong ties. So is Gary Cohn. And they are getting and so is Ivanka. Well, Ivanka, I don't think is registered, but she's she's a New Yorker. So they don't have the same mind on issues that Donald Trump did when he was campaigning. And so there's just a very interesting, again, Game of Thrones going on in the White House. And you're seeing, like in that Iran statement by Tillerson, you're seeing an example of what I've been talking about. But Tim, thanks. I appreciate it. And thanks for calling. It's nice to hear from you. And thanks for listening. Let's go to Robert in Texas. Good morning, Robert.
Yeah, good morning, Sandy. I want to tell you how much I enjoy listening to you and appreciate your work, your mission, the expertise in which you convey your thoughts and news, and I just hope God will continue to bless you in what you do, and you do it so well. You're a very, very talented young lady, and I'm thankful to have discovered your show.
Well, that's sweet. That's a very kind thing to say, Robert. Okay, so what's on your mind in terms of the news?
I may have a different or more narrow perspective on the letter that you made mention to that Tillerson wrote, and then also then the subsequent information that he gave. What I heard you say was, and I certainly may not understand the complete Iran nuclear agreement, although I agree that it was a very terrible and subversive agreement. But anyway, what I heard you say was that Tillerson, the letter, stated that Iran was complying with my narrow view of the nuclear agreement as it is written, and then came back later and said that they are violating many areas of their responsibility, not necessarily just pointed at the nuclear agreement. So it could be that I may have misunderstood what you said, or that I don't understand the agreement. But I guess what I'm saying is that I thought that the letter and his talking was consistent with each other.
Well, Robert. It could be, except that we know, and you just heard Frank's commentary echoing what I had said earlier, with that the president was very upset. I think that's evidence that there is probably a conflict between the letter and the state, some bit of a conflict, and I think that's why maybe Tillerson actually, too. You look, I'm speculating. I was speculating on that part. I mean, like, who initiated this letter? I'm guessing that it's probably bad State Department people who have a different agenda, who thought the Iran deal was fabulous. That Tillerson, I'm guessing, probably signed it without really having full comprehension. And that when it came to, national security experts in D.C. who are watching this had a fit when they saw that. Are you kidding me? You're saying Iran, are you kidding me? From the State Department, signed by Tillerson? Trump got wind of that, and then Tillerson comes out and makes a different statement that may or may not contradict. So, you know, I don't know if that helps, but you're right. I mean, you're right. Yeah. Hopefully, but I think there must have been, there was a reason why national security experts who I trust were upset about that letter. So,
I agree. And I agree generally with the overall draining the swamp idea, and there's a lot of embedded people that the administration has not been able to get rid of. The thing that sends up a red flag to me anytime the security people are mentioned is that my mind goes back to Valerie Jarrett and all of the and the Susan Rice business, where I just see thousands of people in the intelligence business that are still in favor of Obama's policies.
Oh, absolutely. Robert, you know, 8 years of Barack Obama has produced, they did drain the swamp. And so the people that are in place in CIA and now NSA may be an exception. I think there's some really good people still serving at NSA. CIA has pretty much been converted into, it already was, and State Department too, really an operative of the left. So they were very effective at that, and those people, as I said, repeatedly, are still in place, and it is a problem. Hey, Robert, listen, thanks for your kind words this morning, and I appreciate your comments, too. All right, let's go to Kimberly in North Carolina. Good morning, Kimberly.
Good morning, Sandy. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I listen to you as often as I can, and I admire your intelligence greatly. I absolutely love your show. I'm calling to comment on the Bill O'Reilly firing. I rely on Fox News. I read it online every day, and I'm very angry with the mainstream media. I definitely want Fox News to continue to be successful and reach a lot of people. But I do not condone Bill O'Reilly's behavior. If he's guilty of harassment, he should absolutely be gone, no matter his political views. We cannot accept that behavior, and we can't stand for integrity and look the other way when someone behaves this way. I'm incredibly disappointed. I feel like he tried to represent himself as righteous and having integrity, but if he behaved this way, it undermines people's trust in him and in Fox. So I just wanted to say that I can't say that I'm sorry for him if he did this. I think that we need to stand for what is right. And the fact that I think I read that they had settled a harassment case on his behalf a few years ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Kimberly, let me interrupt you for a second. Yeah, there's a, I mean, I said that earlier. This is public knowledge for a long time, just not so many. I think the thing that bothers me, Kimberly, is that women have, this culture has become so women-centric that I think women are able to make accusations that are not, women just have to say one thing, he harassed me, and men can be destroyed. Now, in this case, I don't think that's the case with Bill on all of these. I think he's done some probably pretty egregious things, which I, how could I possibly support? But let me ask you the opposite question. You're looking at a secular news organization. They're not Christians. Do you really think that the standard, do you think that the standard can be for, let's pick on the men here, that none of those men ever have made sexual comments to women? None of them have ever had affairs. None of those men are drunkards. None of them have ever gambled. I mean, It's a standard. Can we apply that standard to a secular news company? What is the standard that we? So as soon as they have commit adultery or they say something sexual to a woman, then they should all be gone. I don't know. What do you think, Kimberly?
Well, I guess my impression is that this has been an ongoing behavior, and I think that for that reason, he should be gone. And he has a high public profile, and that makes him even more accountable.
Yeah, okay. Well, Kimberly, I agree with you. The only thing is, here's the thing, and I've said this when we first started. I hope you were listening. The thing that bothers me is that the left is having such great success at targeting, personally targeting, the people that are most effective against them. And they are able to destroy them and destroy their lives. And the left, meanwhile, it doesn't matter what they do morally, whether it's the Bill Clintons or the Anthony Weiners or, you know, Ted Kennedy, they're heroes. John Kennedy, he's a hero. And yet their behavior was absolutely unbelievably appalling. The rules don't apply in the same way. And so those are the things I'm mulling about. I'm not coming to a conclusion. I said earlier, and I say again, I'm not pleased about Bill's behavior, but I do not like the fact that the left is so effective at taking out people that are effective at coming after them. So I think it's going to make people afraid, and because I think almost everyone, certainly probably all the men at Fox, have something because they're men. Yeah, okay, so you can take that statement and deal with it. I know that'll be repeated. Anyway, I got to take a break. See Andy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.